And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled The Return of Christ and the Tribulation Period. I shall read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. But before we read the Word of God, I invite you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're eternally grateful for Thy continued blessings upon us. We thank Thee for the privilege of voicing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for everyone who has tuned our way today. It is our prayer that as the message fills the air, that it might fill the hearts of believers, and that it might bring unsaved people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou wouldst bless every home today tuned our way, every heart and every life, that in every case, in every instance, the Lord Jesus and Jesus alone would be given honor and glory. We pray for revival, not only for our church, but for the churches of this community, the churches of our area. May the Holy Spirit bring revival to the hearts of people all over our city today. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, I began reading at verse 1. John writes, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The end of this age is fast approaching. The next great event on God's timetable will be the return of Christ and the rapture of the church. This will be a world-shaking, revolutionary event. It will happen so suddenly that the world will be startled beyond measure. Jesus describes the suddenness of his coming under the symbolism of a thief who comes at night. Jesus Christ will come unexpectedly. He will come unannounced. Suddenly, back to take away his own. My text begins with these words, after these things. What things is John speaking about? John is speaking about the church age, after the close of the church age. These things must come hereafter. The church age began with the founding of the church by the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh upon the earth. The church age will end when the last sinner is born into the family of God. Then the heavenly bridegroom will come and rapture his bride. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns and raptures his bride, it will be D-Day for the unsaved. It will be doomsday for the wicked. The Bible speaks of that day as the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah, the day of wrath, the day of vengeance. It is described in the Bible as a day of darkness, a day of distress, a day of death, a day of trouble, a day of turmoil, a day of tribulation. In the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, we read these words, For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. What a day that will be. It all begins after the rapture of the church. Then comes that awesome, that dreadful day, the day of tribulation. My message again is entitled, The Return of Christ and the tribulation period. Before I speak specifically of the nature of the tribulation period, I shall speak in general terms of that awesome time. There are three theological interpretations concerning the tribulation period. One, the pre-tribulation approach. Two, the mid-tribulation approach. And three, the post-tribulation approach. The pre-tribulation approach says that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation. The mid-tribulation approach declares that Jesus will come at the middle of the tribulation. And the post-tribulation approach declares that Jesus Christ will come after the tribulation. Well, what does the Bible say? We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We believe that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation period to receive his own out of the world. The tribulation period is both prophesied and described in the Old Testament. In the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the prophet describes it as the time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation period is known also as Daniel's 70th week. 69 weeks of Daniel's prescribed time have already passed. The 70th week is yet in the future and will begin after the rapture of the church and the onset of the tribulation period. Now, let me speak specifically of the nature of the tribulation period. Just what kind of period will it be? I submit to you in the first place that the tribulation period will be a period of worldwide confusion. Perhaps we could speculate for a moment and imagine what the headlines of the newspapers will be like after the rapture. Perhaps some of them would read like this: millions missing around the world. Communications jammed as confusion mounts. Mysterious disappearance of thousands causing concern all over the world. Broken-hearted families mourn their missing loved ones. Crowds throng local churches seeking the answer. Perhaps some of the newspapers after the rapture will bear headlines like these: it will be a day of universal, worldwide confusion. When the tribulation period begins, the saints will all be gone, and they will be taken so quickly that there will be no time for farewells. There will be vacant chairs in those days, vacant cribs. Family circles will be broken. The saved will be raptured to heaven to be with the Lord forever. The unsaved will be left upon the earth to endure the horrors of the tribulation. Business houses will be disrupted. Employment problems will be insurmountable. Jesus said, two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Jesus said, two would be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other shall be left. There shall be vacant schoolrooms in those days, and the playgrounds will be hushed in a mysterious silence. Industry and government will have to be reorganized. Pilots will be taken from their planes in flight. This will be the first case of supernatural skyjacking. Engineers will be removed from fast-moving trains. Men will be looking for their wives and children. Can't you see them now running up and down the street, calling the names of their wives and children, wondering what's happened? And then it will dawn upon them that they had heard the warning. They had heard the message. They had heard the truth. They had heard the gospel. They had heard that one day the Lord Jesus would come and take away his own. And now it's forever for them too late. People will be tormented by the memory of preachers begging them to go to church and to trust Jesus Christ as their own Savior. Men and women will be reminded of their many misspent opportunities. Some will no doubt think that they still hear the echo of mother's prayer. Many fathers will imagine that they still hear the voices of their sons and daughters begging them to go to Sunday school. What an hour, what an hour, what an hour it shall be. Confusion and chaos will be the order of the day. That will be the worldwide confusion, the worldwide consternation, the worldwide chaos of that awesome period that we call the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation period. In the second place, let us observe that it will be a period of intense suffering. Jesus described it as a time like unto which there had never been, and like unto which there should never be. No one could describe the tribulation period adequately. It defies description by the most gifted tongue. The pen of the most prolific writer would exhaust its supply of ink before it could write finis to the story. The words of the most gifted orator would be inadequate to tell the story. The poet cannot make it rhyme. The playwright could never stage the horror of this woeful tale of human anguish and human suffering. My, what a day that's going to be. After the day of grace has ended, after the door of opportunity has been closed, after this great dispensation of grace will have come to an end, there will be that period of intense suffering that no man can describe. Listen to some of the things that will be taking place during the time of the tribulation period. All of these are taken from the text of the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. God spoke, and God spoke clearly. God spoke emphatically. God spoke with finality. God spoke with authority. And these are some of the things that the Lord said in the book of the Revelation that will transpire in that awesome period of the time of the tribulation. Here they are. Peace will be taken from the earth, and the ravages of war will result. Famine in those days will be universal, and millions will perish from hunger. The horror of death will circumvent the globe, and multitudes will be struck down by the rider of the pale horse. Hailstones weighing 96 pounds apiece will fall in mass upon the earth, crushing the inhabitants. Fire will rage, and the Bible declares that one-third of all vegetation will be burned up. John says in the Revelation that one-third of the sea will be turned to blood. He goes on to say that one-third of all sea life will perish. One-third of all commerce upon the sea will be destroyed. The stars will fall from their sockets and plummet to the earth, crushing those men and women who remain during the tribulation period. The Bible declares that one-third of all the water supply will be embittered, and many will die from that bitterness. Further, the Bible declares that in those days, the days of the tribulation, the days of the time of Jacob's trouble, that awesome period of suffering, that locust with heads like horses, teeth like lions, and tails like scorpions will torment men day and night. The Bible further declares that one-third of the population will be killed by an army of 200 million horsemen. The mark of the beast will be stamped upon men, and they will be forced to worship the Antichrist. You see, all those who do not honor and own and accept and worship the Lord Jesus in this hour and in this age will in that day of intense suffering be forced to worship the Antichrist and will receive his mark, the mark of man, the mark of the earth, man's number, 666. One-third of the population then being destroyed by these awesome things that are coming upon the earth. Death and pestilence will spread abroad over the face of the entire earth. Men will be scorched by the intense heat of the sun. Darkness will cover the face of the earth. And the Bible declares that men will gnaw their tongues because of the excruciating pain. Have you ever heard of a day like that? Did you ever read anywhere except in the Bible of a period of such intense suffering as this? Listen to it. Thunder and lightning will frighten men all over the world as they seek shelter from the judgment and the wrath of God. Earthquakes will cause convulsions that will destroy entire cities and bring cataclysmic changes in the geography of the earth. And the Bible describes that day as being such a day of horror, such a day of pain, such a day of confusion and chaos and suffering that men will literally seek death, but death will flee from them. Oh, what a day! A day of horror, a day of gloom, a day of darkness, a day of anarchy, a day of strife, a day of carnage, a day of war, a day of bloodshed, a day of famine, a day of pestilence, the day of the wrath of God upon the earth. What a day that's going to be. Where will men go then? To whom will men turn? Who will deliver man? Beloved, there will be no deliverance in that day. There will be no Savior. Those who have spurned the mercies of God will drink the cup of His indignation and wrath. And that day will be a day that will be far too late for those who have heard the gospel in this hour and in this age to call upon the Lord. And that brings me to my final thought. The tribulation period will be a period of fruitless prayer. The last great prayer meeting on earth will be held. John tells us about it in the Revelation chapter 6. Listen to these words describing the last prayer meeting. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This is the account of the last prayer meeting on earth, when men during the day of God's wrath, during the tribulation period, shall lift their fruitless cries to the rocks and mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of the Lamb of God who is executing the wrath of God upon the face of the earth. Yes, a day of prayer, but it'll be too late to pray. I read in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, God says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall they seek me early, but they shall not find me. My advice to you today, beloved friend, is this. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The time for you to be saved from all of this is now. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You can come this moment confessing your sins, asking for mercy, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And right there by your radio, this moment, you can anchor your faith in the Lord Jesus and you can be saved. Oh, sinner, I admonish you. I implore you, flee from the wrath to come. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this moment, and you can be safe from the wrath of God that's going to come upon the earth. Do it now, and may God bless you as you do. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.